to the opposite. So being, you know, totally transparent with all of our code and algorithms. Anyone can just go and read them, gitlab.com/minds right now. You can take all of our code, make your own app with our code. There are people to earn and be rewarded for their presence as opposed to punished. You know, like controversy and something gets taken down that shouldn't get taken down through the jury system. Then bring it to the attention of everybody. And we're going to look at it again.
So it's not going to be like, you know, Jack Dorsey when he's on Joe Rogan, he's like, I had no idea about that. I'm like, you know, bullshit that, you know, all these gigantic, super high profile cases. Like, oh, well, I didn't even hear. Oh, Al Jones kicked off. Oh, I didn't know.
There's no possible way that was. I mean, there is a 0.001% chance that he didn't know about that.
So before we get going, I do want to point out that we will be raffling off 100 Minds tokens on Memorial Day. That's 100,000 different impressions on the platform Minds. As you guys can tell, we just had a show with Bill Ottman, the CEO of Minds. But this is really a win-win all the way around. It helps us keep in touch with you guys, gives you guys chances to win prizes weekly. We're going to be giving away things like maybe different crypto, maybe VIP tickets to places that we're speaking at. We have the Red Pill Expo coming up just in a few weeks in June. That was with G. Edward Griffin. I know Josh and John are both going to be at that. We've got Anarcho Vegas coming up in the middle of July. I know myself and Josh are going to be at that. And then, of course, John Snyson is going to be at his Winnipeg Crypto Conference coming up in October. So the number you're going to want to text to be entered into these raffles is 71441. And then you're going to text World Alternative Media, no spaces. That's very key. No spaces, World Alternative Media. Number is 71441. All around win. And then other ways you guys can keep in touch with us will be down below. If you guys are like, hey, you know, we hate these ads, well, go watch us over on BitChute. At least all my videos will be posted on BitChute. We will have the links to that as well. Or if you're like, hey, you know, we don't have, you know, 30 minutes to go sit around listening to the interview, well, then maybe you'd rather listen to it. I'll have the MP3s without commercials on there as well. But anyways, this is a win-win for everybody. This is a great way to help support World Alternative Media and a great way to also make sure that we can keep in touch with you in the future. And that way we can tell you, you know, where we eventually are, you know, when the day comes that we eventually won't be on YouTube or Facebook anymore, when the 2020 digital holocaust that's coming, you know, ends up rearing its head. But anyways, we've got a great show coming up for you today, and hope you guys enjoy. Thank you.
Welcome, everyone. This is Tim Pichot, and today we've got a great guest lined up. We have Bill Ottman, who is the CEO of Minds.com. And for those of you who don't know, Minds.com, it's a crowdfunded social media network that's built on the blockchain. It's anti-surveillance, anti-censorship, and anti-big tech platform that ensures that no party is going to control your online presence. So today, I'd like to welcome Bill to the show.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks. Well, did I miss anything from that? Or what, you know, for people out there who are wondering, you know, hey, you know, there's all these platforms that are out there, you know, what's wrong with Facebook or what's wrong with Twitter? You know, why do we need another platform out there? Can you kind of give like a brief summary of why people should care that that basically you guys exist?
For sure. I mean, I think that's a pretty good description, especially that you focused on the crowdfunded element. I mean, we did an equity crowdfunding round in 2017. So like 1,500 members of our community actually own stock in us. And, you know, we also are, you know, giving away the reach and the impressions of the network through daily token rewards, which are running on the Ethereum blockchain. And so it's all about doing the good things that big tech does, which are certain communication design systems they've done well, which is why we use them. But then everything else doing exactly the opposite. So being, you know, totally transparent with all of our code and algorithms. Anyone can just go and read them, gitlab.com/minds right now. You can take all of our code, make your own app with our code. There are people doing that. And from beyond that, we just want creators to earn and be rewarded for their presence as opposed to punished. You know, like you were mentioning before the show a little bit, you know, your growth on Facebook completely ceased to a halt because they changed their algorithms and they don't even show a pure feed of what the people you subscribe to are posting. It's totally diluted. So we've committed to totally pure news feed. We're never going to interfere with people's reach. And beyond that, we want people to get more reach by participating and contributing to the network.
And so how does the cryptocurrency element play into it? It's my understanding that if you have one token, is that like 1,000 impressions? Is that my understanding? And so how do you actually, as a content creator, besides, you know, people tipping you or people rewarding you, or you going out and buying it yourself, what are the other ways for content creators to earn on your platform?
When you receive upvotes, when you get comments, when people share your content, we call it remind. When you refer people to network through your referral code, there's even a minimal reward just for being active. So, you know, and we're trying to add more ways all the time.
Now, is it kind of different than I know some of our viewers might know about Steemit, but you know, one of the problems I had with Steemit is it felt like if you weren't one of the very first people and you weren't in there kind of gaming the system and joining with all these other whales, you were sort of screwed unless you knew or were friends with different influencers. So have you guys done anything to kind of combat you know, that? Because I know that I was sort of turned off from like the Steemit model just because it really seemed like it only really applied to the guys that got in first.
Yeah, or the people who have the most steam. The more steam you have, the more voting power you have. And so I think that steam is a cool experiment, but I wish they would evolve, sort of change some of the reward tokenomics. So on Mines, you earn in direct correlation with the total amount of unique engagement that you're receiving on the network. So literally the people who are getting, you know, the most engagement from the widest array of people are the ones earning the most, and everyone's vote is the same.
Yeah, I think I saw something where you guys coming out with a jury system, and I wonder if you guys if you can explain what the jury system is for the people out there.
Yeah, the jury, I'm so excited about. I mean, so if you look at what's happening on the big networks with censorship, you essentially have, first of all, their terms are a mess. They are inconsistently forced. They're even, you know, provably biased within the terms. And they're not even, you know, they'll take down one account making violent threats and not another account. So they're not even consistently enforcing the terms that they do have. And so what our terms are essentially, as long as it's lawful in the US and, you know, you're not maliciously, you know, hacking the site or, making true threats of violence or harassment and stuff, which is, you know, is mostly illegal. There are certain exceptions on the web that are, you know, need to be drilled into, but those are our terms. So then the jury's job is if we make a decision that gets appealed, the appeals go to the jury. So if people feel like we made a wrong decision with their content, they can appeal it. And then a flash prompt will be sent to 12 random users who are active, who are unconnected from each other, and they will vote on the appeal, and they'll see the content and they'll try to make a decision. Now, this is from our perspective, a huge step towards giving people more power. And it's protecting the network against us, who can have subjective bias potentially. So, and we want to bring lawyers onto the juries, you know, as many as possible, maybe even have like one lawyer sitting in on every jury in the future. That would be pretty cool, or more, but you know, lawyers are not cheap. Maybe we could get some volunteers. I wouldn't be surprised if they would. I think a lot of people are upset with what's happening on the major networks. So, you know, it's probably not a perfect system, but I think that it is a better system and it's more decentralized governance.
Yeah. Now, one like potential problem I could see is, you know, what if I want to see how you guys would address this. Let's say I'm posting anti-Hillary memes, and then somehow it goes out to like seven, you know, big time Hillary supporters, and they're like, you know, screw this guy, we don't want to hear his voice. You know, yeah, he's guilty, and boom, you know, off with his head. You know, so is there any way to kind of like rectify that or get around? I'm sure.
So what we have, and this in itself is even being contended. We currently have, if you are repeatedly shown to be voting against the consensus of the rest of people, because the mandate isn't to vote on your opinion. The mandate of the jury is to vote on, is this within the terms? And the terms are, you know, generally, is it lawful? You know, as long as it's not like clear defamation or copyright or threat of violence or whatnot, all the things that are the law, then, you know, so this is not supposed to be ideological. People will do that, most likely. They will try to abuse the system. But if we can educate people enough about what the mandate of the jury is and the people who participate opt into that, which there is. There's a clear opt in, and you're gonna, you know, people who participate will be seeing certain controversial content, which is, you know, not everyone is going to be interested in doing that, which is a hurdle in itself. But if you vote against the consensus 10 times, then you're not going to be eligible anymore. Now, we're open to changing that. That is just one protective mechanism that is in there to prevent the trolls who just automatically vote, you know, no matter what it is, keep it up. Because there will be people who do that. And we're not, you know, that is not within the law. So we need protective measures. And it'll just be really interesting to see the data that we get. And we're going to, the data, it will be transparent. So people see how many juries have happened, what the percent, you know, appeals accepted is. And so, you know, we're just trying to evolve. And this seems to be a step in the right direction. I can understand certain hesitancy. And to be honest, if we see, you know, if there's some big controversy and something gets taken down that shouldn't get taken down through the jury system, then bring it to the attention of everybody. And we're going to look at it again.
So it's not going to be like, you know, Jack Dorsey when he's on Joe Rogan, he's like, oh, I had no idea about that. I'm like, yeah, bullshit that, you know, all these gigantic, super high profile cases. He's like, oh, well, I didn't even hear. Oh, Alex Jones is kicked off. Oh, I didn't know.
There's no possible way that was, I mean, there is a 0.001% chance that he didn't know about that. So.
Yeah. That's why I actually am rocking the Alex Jones Don't Censor Me shirt right now. And it's not because after Trump got elected, I was like sick of like his show turning into like a Trump, you know, circle jerk. So I stopped listening, but I know it's like you either hang together or you hang separate. And so if they can kick him off, they can kick me off and kick you off. And so that's why, you know, I think it's so important. There's so many, even conservatives who you're talking about shadow banning, like what's shadow banning? Or wait, there's, you know, it's, or you get people like, oh, well, it's, you know, it's a private platform, so they can do whatever they want. And, you know, in some extent, you know, that is the case, but they're getting all this money that was basically, you know, government money that's, you know, advertising on there. And there's just such selective enforcement. I mean, just right now, I see an advertisement. I'm not even joking right now. I screenshotted it. It says on Facebook right now, I have an advertisement for a hat that says cocaine and hookers. Which I'm like, I'm not allowed to actually boost anything on Facebook, but I can get an ad for cocaine and hookers. It's a golf hat. I'm like, that's offensive. I don't golf, but no, it's like, it's so crazy. Like how these laws are hot, not even laws, how these rules are enforced. And when it came to me for Facebook, they actually, they took away my ability to post after the election. They made me send in a copy of my ID in order to get posting privileges back. Then they had to mail me something. I had to take the code, put it back in, just to basically prove I wasn't some sort of Russian agent. And then even after I went through all that, they then took away my ability to boost. So I'm not even allowed to pay Facebook to put anything on there. I'm in some sort of like protect, like some special class where I, you know, definitely some sort of thought criminal over here. But even myself, you know, since everybody's over there, it's like the Stockholm syndrome where, you know, until there's enough masses to move over. And so I'm trying to promote other things because I think it's going to be, you know, yeah, there's a little bit, little bit, little bit. And then one day, you know, there's like a dam breaking and everybody just leaves because, and I was on Facebook in October 2004. I mean, super, super, super early. Actually, it was because of a Russian girl. I was at the bar and this Russian girl was like, hey, are you on the Facebook? And so I got on the Facebook and just happened to be one of the first schools. So I got sucked in, you know, as a freshman in college. But, you know, but right now, I mean, it's like, you know, what more do they have to do? I mean, they've broken my arms, you know, broken my legs, you know, over here battered. And then just every single day, it's something new. Just yesterday at Facebook, I had an announcement saying, hey, a notification saying, hey, we see that you shared a Zero Hedge article. And this Zero Hedge article said that James Comey and Clapper were communists. And when they said they were communists, they didn't really mean that they were communists. And so therefore it's fake news. And here's, you know, an article that from our own, you know, fake news source showing why you're wrong. And we just want to let you know that. So, you know, do you guys have plans to have these like independent fact checkers coming on? Cause this was the first time I'd seen this.
I think that is definitely problematic. I think they're doing it completely the wrong way. Now, allowing multiple independent parties to fact check any post, whether it's a mainstream media article or an independent media article, that I'm not inherently opposed to. The problem is that the way Facebook is doing fact checking, there's like five organizations that they're partnered with who are totally subjective, and it's not an actual crowdsourced consensus about the post that fairly gives everyone an opportunity to, you know, provide secondary sources that, you know, get voted up and, you know, are shown to be the most popular. It's literally just like some probably
Are you saying the Southern Poverty Law Center is not objective? I mean, they put Ernest Hancock, who I know we're both mutual acquaintances with, they put him on our Freedom's Phoenix on the list, for Christ's sakes, in terms of potential enabling terrorism or some whatever they wanted to say it was.
Absolutely. I mean, look, the Southern Poverty Law Center has the right to apply their opinion to the fact checking. That is their right, but so does everybody else. And we need to have a wider spectrum of fact-checking happening.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's like, you know, what do I have to do to get on the list? Because I see, like, everybody, like, it's like, unless you're not, like, influential enough, unless you're on that list, because it's so crazy. Like, at one point, like, Ron Paul was on there, and Judge Napolitano, and all.
Well, here's the thing. What is the comment section, as long as you have ranked responses, but voted upon fact-checking? That's essentially what people are naturally doing in comment sections. I think that you could even have more deliberate effort to have users do that and display it a little bit more clearly so that people, you know, no matter, forget about what the content is, but for any content, you can have a sort of peer review happening on it.
Yeah, I think, and that's where things kind of got crazy with Facebook, is that they then started having, you know, obviously there's different bots, and, you know, I remember seeing stuff where the State Department and the CIA in like 2009, 2010 were soliciting bids for these different bot farms to be able to control their narrative, because people just get into this, you know, groupthink mentality, and if they see, oh, well, in the comments, if everybody's thinking this way, even though it might be bots, then I don't want to go against the apple cart. And luckily now we're just sort of seeing this like mass awakening of, you know, where things are today versus, you know, 3 years ago, I feel like is insane. You know, I was a conspiracy theorist several years ago, and now it's like, well, not even half the stuff's not even conspiracy. It's like open, outward fact. And so it's just great seeing that the ball is moving down the field in terms of, you know, what is now people finally starting to, you know, see through this, you know, false, fake left-right paradigm, and finally are starting to realize that, hey, you know, we can't let these, you know, tech oligarchs just control everything.
It totally is Stockholm syndrome too. And, you know, everyone's addicted to it because look, there's brilliant developers at these companies who write really nice software. But the problem is, and I think honestly, most of the developers and workers at these companies probably want things to change, but it's not that simple. And so what we're trying to do is essentially prove empirically that censorship makes things worse. It further radicalizes the internet. And so the moral high ground that the mainstream networks are trying to take right now with their content policies is actually making more hate speech, more, you know, potential violent actors, because it's causing those users to become alienated, and, you know, for whatever side they're on, whether they're, whether the hate speech is coming from the left or the right, it's, you know, hate is an emotion, first of all, that you can't ban an emotion. So for them to think that this is effective is really just, it's sort of sad, because they're smart, but it shows how basically stuck they are in some sort of bureaucracy that doesn't allow them to, even these companies have the most data in the world to look at. They can look in real time when they censor things, where the users are going, how the network effects operate. So they know what's happening when they ban these high-profile users, and yet they still keep doing it because they think that there's like some sort of PR machine that is going to destroy them if they go the other way. But that's really just not true. And I think that things are starting to shift. And so it's just important for people, you know, yeah, sign up for Minds. Sign up for every free and open source and encrypted app you can that is, you know, putting users first.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And that's why, you know, I'm posting videos now to BitChute and, you know, just all sorts of different platforms, because I know that, you know, time is limited in all these places. And I think when 2020 rolls around, it's going to be, you know, a digital holocaust that's going to be coming our way. And it's going to be pushing people towards you guys, towards other alternatives. And it's like, you know, the tighter they try to squeeze, you know, the more star systems that, that leak out between. And they're driving people to these technologies, you know, whether it's cryptocurrencies, what, you know, cutting off people's bank accounts. I mean, it wasn't even, they were saying that, hey, you know, with Alex Jones, you know, we might try to cut him off from MasterCard, or we might try to cut him off from WhatsApp, and all these different, regardless of what you think about him, it's going to then take people and push them to our direction. And, you know, okay, you guys already controlled, you know, not you guys, but, you know, Facebook already controlled, you know, 99.9% of the narrative, and we're, you know, swimming upstream with both arms cut off. And then that wasn't good enough because, you know, they still lost, you know, Hillary still lost a rigged election. And I think all politics is BS anyway. So, but, you know, just calling it like it is. So they lost a rigged election. So now we need to figure out why we need to kick all these people off our platforms. But in doing so, I mean, people are going to go to censorship resistant or censorship, you know, even more like IPFS type technologies, where they're going to wish they didn't F with us, because now the information is going to be immutable. It's going to be sort of like a Tor network, and they're not going to be able to take it down. So do you guys have plans to integrate
IPFS? We do. We're already playing. We have an app going that is a fully decentralized. It's called Nomad, and it's at gitlab.com/mind/nomad. It's not finished, but we basically are using the Ethereum addresses for your wallet on Mines as sort of your identity layer in Nomad, and then Node and React Native and either IPFS or DAT protocol, which is very similar to IPFS, DAT project, DATproject.org. And we're sort of playing with those two. But yeah, they're more torrent style networks.
Yeah, and I'll have links below for people to that on different shows that explain more into IPFS, or, you know, go and listen to basically any show that Ernest Hancock does, because he brings it up 20 times a day. Not saying that as a knock, we sort of like a running joke of every time he says it, you know, we're going to take a drink.
No, I know. I've talked to him a couple times. Yeah,
I know. So I know that he's loving that. But in terms of like, do you guys have any different like encrypted chat features or different like groups?
We do have encrypted chat, but our chat needs a lot of work. It's not fully end-to-end encrypted on web. On mobile, it is, but on web, the syncing. So we don't have access to the conversations, which we did on purpose. But it really needs to get a big level of effort to get it to the fully end-to-end encrypted level, but it's still, you know, it's still better than the other chats where they're just reading your conversations.
Yeah. I mean, over here, I mean, I'm basically just using Signal, and I see a lot of people are using
Signal's great.
I see people are using WhatsApp, and I'm like, you guys are killing me. And I had one guy who was telling me, he's like, we need to plan this mass migration off of Facebook, a Facebook influencer. And meanwhile, like, his domain is something@gmail.com. I'm asking if he has Telegram or Signal. He goes, no, I mainly use Messenger. And I'm like, you're trying to plan a mass migration off of Facebook of different influencers.
To Facebook.
Communicating through Facebook.
You know, I know.
What can I see possibly go wrong here?
It's an educational curve, man. I mean, this is, but what I like is that exact question is coming to the surface. At the end of the day, what matters is what we use. What we use every day on a daily basis for the OS, for the browser, for the apps, for the networks, you know, you can replace essentially every tech tool you have with a more ethical alternative. So
yeah, we're having Colin Pape of Presearch. He's going to be on, I believe, on either Tuesday or Wednesday. And so, I mean, I'm using the Brave browser with Presearch, then with DuckDuckGo. I mean, just trying to do, and I'm sure there's, but I'm still so tied in. I just got a home server the other day, so I'm going to try to, you know, take everything off of Google, which I already have, but now I'm going to
good for you.
Migrate off of everything. And so, but it's not, you know, it's just, you know, it's wallet voting. You've got to vote with, you know, vote with your feet. Ernie owns walletvoting.com. So just take another plug over there. But it's just crazy how, you know, they've gotten us, you know, completely by the balls. And so, you know, unless we are actually doing stuff to take these steps ourselves, you know, posting links to Facebook, although it's not easy, as you well know, to post a link to Facebook. I posted the other day, I mentioned minds.com, and I don't even know if you've seen, I'm sure, obviously, you know that they have.
Yeah, Captcha.
Well, no, this was even, I've known about that for a while. This was even over and above that. And so let me see if I can share my
Messenger screen. They wouldn't allow you to send it in Messenger.
Nope. I've had that happen too. But this was even over and above that. So what it was doing, so from my phone, so I've got it shared in Evernote over here. So you can kind of, it might be hard for you to see, so I can send you the video afterwards. So I wrote, you know, I had to do a CAPTCHA, but then they left like the reply thing in the background. So then that way it looked sort of like a beer goggle type thing. And then they made it so I couldn't even hit reply or post to anybody for 7 minutes. And so, and then I had to do, then another security check. And so that was the first time I've had it happen where it basically made it look like I was typing with some sort of beer goggles going on. And, I mean, it shows that you guys are over the target if, you know, they're that worried about, you know, what's going on over there at minds.com.
Hey, sorry, my phone died.
Yeah, Facebook went through and made it look like it had like beer goggles. And so you couldn't even see the reply that I was writing back after I posted your link. And then for 7 minutes, it took away my ability to post after posting your link.
No way.
Yeah, at least to that specific thread. So it was to a comment.
You took a screenshot?
Yeah. So I went through the screenshot on Zoom, but I do have the screenshot saved on Evernote, so I can send that over. I screenshotted the entire thing. So
you think it was you? Do you think it was something specific to that conversation that was causing it?
The conversation was about minds.com. And I posted.
How many times had it been posted in the thread?
The first time is actually I wrote minds, and then I wrote, you know, .com. Then I said, hey, just go ahead and try, because my someone I knew was an early investor, not early, but they got in on the Facebook IPO, and so they mentioned that, hey, they had sold everything off, and I said, hey, that's a wise move. Just try writing minds.com. But then I wrote it out there. I'm like, and you're gonna have to deal with a CAPTCHA, and as I'm writing, you have to deal with a CAPTCHA. The word reply was still there, so everything I was writing was all gobbledygook, and then it took away my ability to post on that specific thread for 7 minutes.
It's insane.
Yeah, so I do have it. Yeah, I'm sure it's not super surprising. So I knew you knew about all the other stuff, and so I'm like, wait, I've got potentially.
All right, you got a great update. I mean, dude, I sent them a letter because honestly, why can't they just tell us what the problem is? And this is what they do to all of the pages that they're banning. There's just no conversation to be had. You know, we hadn't even been posting on Facebook for years. I remember back in the day they did it to this site called TSU, and because they were sort of a social network that would reward you like and pay you essentially for running ads. And they did the same. There might be something with our referral links or that they don't like. It's possible that an algorithm is doing this, but the problem is that there's no communication line. There's no way to know. It is, and honestly, for them to disrespect their users who put years into building presences there, it's like, I'm sorry, but we had millions of followers. I know many, many different brands, both even mainstream brands, who got banned, and oddly, they haven't banned our page. So it's like, what's really going on?
Yeah, sometimes it's even worse getting the shadow ban than getting outright banned. Because when it's like, I almost wish when they kicked him, Alex Jones, off in like either August or September. Not talking about the recent Instagram one. I went dark, and as a protest, and part of me was like, I wish I just, you know, kept at it, because I was like pissed that I didn't get to put it in like the initial like 800 pages. I'm like, damn it! Like now it's like even worse because I'm still here, but nobody can hear me. And so that's why I decided to team up with Josh Segerson over at World Alternative Media. Because I'm like, listen, I'm not going to go spend time, build up a YouTube page. Because I was always had like fake names and gnome de plumes over on Facebook. And then until they made me out myself after getting reported too many times. And I was like, you know, finally, you know, screw it. I'm going to, you know, be out there. And then once I built up, you know, a decent presence and was reaching millions of people, all of a sudden, boom, shadow ban. And I can show you the graph. It's absolutely insane because I have proof, and this sounds outlandish, but you know, people have probably heard this or listening to me, is I am claiming to be the first person to actually appropriate the term fake news from the left and have it go viral. So it was November 16th, 2016. I had a fake news list. It was just called fake news list. And with all the usual suspects, I listed one person by name. That one person was Paul Krugman, who then won Trump's award for being most fake news a year and a half later. And it went literally the day before, 1,200 new subscribers, the day after, zero. And I've got, and it's like a graph that's just like a, you know, a flat, like a heartbeat that just died flat.
Right.
It's like, oh yeah, that. So somehow when nobody knew me, I somehow was able to grow to 30,000 within 2 months. And all of a sudden, now that I've got, you know, somewhat of a decent following, now I can't reach anybody.
What's happening is they're tracking the language that everybody is using. And so if you use certain tags, certain language, certain patterns, their AI and machine learning will detect it. And, you know, you'll get put onto certain blacklists, whether it's a, you know, full ban or some sort of, you know, gray ban or whatever it is. It's just totally not transparent. So yeah, I mean, it seems like you're on it. In terms of diversifying, and that's what everyone needs to do. It's not that you never go into those, you know, that matrix. Sometimes you got to hop in and, you know, hop out for a sec, but we need to be putting as much of our energy as possible into the platforms that are sustainable and not going to screw us over in the long term. It's a total waste of time. And hopefully these big companies, some of them will evolve. I think it's possible that maybe some of them will morph. They would be smart to, because that's the only thing that's going to give them long-term sustainability. They're thinking very short-term right now.
Yeah, Facebook coin is not going to save you guys. Sorry about that. But I don't want to take up too much more of your time. So I want to know, I know Josh was wondering, Sigerson of Wham wants to know if there's any ability to post videos longer than 15 minutes on your channel or plans.
Yes, for Plus users right now, up to 30. So minds.com/plus, we're trying to increase that. I mean, obviously we want to do unlimited. Video transcoding is crazy expensive. It is like it's just, you know, unbelievable. This is why we have WebTorrent, which you should turn on if you don't have it on, which BitChute also uses, which helps us, you know, use people's browsers to basically get bandwidth. That's in your settings. That's always good. But, you know, the more we can figure out peer-to-peer tools to help with the heavy lifting, the better. And that's the only reason that we haven't gone into, you know, unlimited video.
And what about like live streaming? Is that
that's coming. I mean, in our groups, actually, right now, we launch gatherings, which are essentially video chat in groups. When you go to your group, click the gathering button. If you're an admin, you have to enable gatherings, which is just in the little settings cog, but it turns on video chat, which can actually live stream to YouTube now. We're going to make it so that it can live stream on Minds. We're using an open source encrypted framework called Jitsi, which we integrated with our APIs. And you know, eventually we're going to do our own hosted server for Jitsi, which will allow us to have our own endpoints for the live stream. But it's a pretty significant expense and effort. So it's going to happen, but it's not quite there. But video chat can hold up to, like, you know, 20 or more people. So, you know, it's definitely worth using.
Yeah, I mean, Rome wasn't built in a day. And so how, if I wanted to learn more about how to get on, you know, do some of these more advanced things, like create a group, you know, I hate saying, you know, is there like a YouTube, good, like any good resources, or do you guys have, you know, different videos?
Yeah, if you go to, in your little dropdown, minds.com/help, there, and in the little dropdown on your avatar on the desktop app, there's a little area that explains everything. And that's where you also submit issues directly to us. There's also the help and support group, which should be the top group on your sidebar if you're on your desktop. And it's easy though. Just
okay,
like,
so you guys actually have like a desktop app you get through like the Windows Store or Play Store?
No, it's not a desktop app. It's a web app.
Okay, that's, yeah. So I'm just on the web. I'm just on, I just typed in.
Yeah, there's a little plus sign. There's a little plus sign at the top of the sidebar to create a group. And there's video, go to minds.com/token. There's a bunch of information there about how to boost and wire people with tokens and how you earn. And yeah, just dive in. I mean, look, most likely the people listening are pretty intuitive with social media. It's not really that complicated.
Yeah, I also saw something that were said rewards, and you can add a reward. Is that a reward for somebody that's going to subscribe to you? Like, hey, if you
just, yes, you know, you can basically create tiers. Like, you know, 5 tokens a month, you get access to my, you know, behind the paywall content. 100 tokens, you get a video chat with me. Whatever, you pick your tiers. So it's sort of like a crypto crowdfunding system for creators. We're going to add fiat probably back in and other multi-currency support, but right now it's just Minds tokens. And yeah, there's a lot. You can, the new discovery section has really good filtering tools. So you can subscribe to different hashtags and filter it by, you know, most voted in the last, you know, period of time, sort of Reddit style filtering of content and subscribing to different categories. So we worked really hard on that. And that has made big leaps. And yeah. You
know, I am seeing this group function over here. So the page that I just created, that's just a regular page. And a group is kind of like a Facebook group where.
Yes. Yeah. So your main page is your channel. And then Okay. Channels own groups. And you can appoint admins and whatnot.
All right, that's good to know, because there's always these different tips and tricks. When I was first, you know, trying to do things up, you know, before the 2016 election, I'm like, oh man, this is super easy. But it wasn't about building myself up. It was like, man, I want to tell everybody else and empower everybody else, because I'm like, if I can do this off a standstill and reach millions of people, if I only encourage 100 other people, that's a third of America right there. And then, you know, yeah, that only lasted for like a week, and so now I know there's obviously got to be tips and tricks. But, you know, so I do encourage everybody to go to minds.com. I'm going to have a token giveaway. I'm probably, since this wasn't live streamed on Wham, Memorial Day. Just trying to think what day is coming up over here. So we've got Memorial Day coming up. I'll give away 100 Minds tokens. So that's going to be 100,000 impressions. And, you know, I'll figure out how I want to do that, whether it's, you know, 4 25s or one person getting the grand winner. But nice. But we will have a, at the top link, you guys will see it, text World Alternative Media to 71441 to be entered into the drawing. And then that will also then enter you into future drawings as well. Because the reason we're doing this is we want to get your information. We want to get your email. We want to get a text list, because we might not be on YouTube very much longer. We might not be on Facebook very much longer. And we might be over at Minds, but we need to be able to tell you where we're at and how to get to us, and being the trailblazers in this sort of stuff. So we do, you know, appreciate that Bill, you know, is helping spearhead this effort. I know that I first started getting interested once I found out Patrick Byrne was involved, because I know that he is, you know, a super smart guy that's always ahead of the curve. And I was like, man, if he's in this with his Medici Ventures, and this is definitely worth something to check out. So I encourage everyone else to check out. We'll have a referral link down below, so that way you can help us out. And I think right now there's only like 7 people that have subscribed to me. So if you guys want to help me out, it's at the Liberty Advisor. And yeah, we'll look at creating groups and getting all hooked up with this. But, you know, like Bill was saying, I still have sort of that Stockholm syndrome that I'm just as guilty as everybody else. So I'm not trying to chastise anybody out there. But thank you very, very much for your time. You want to head over to minds.com. And anything else you want to talk about, Bill?
Yeah, find me, minds.com/Ottman, and hit me up. And let's all, you know, keep helping propel each other. I think that it's within reach, hitting critical mass. So, you know, we have the network within certain degrees of separation, you know, for hitting that, you know, massive migration, and got to be ready for it.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for your time. I don't think we're going to have to wait very much longer before that mass migration, because I really think by 2020, they're just going to shut it all down. It's going to be completely different. And then, and I'm even planning on, you know, whether they kick me off or not, getting off by the end of the year, because, it's just screw the guys. That's it. Anyways. But thank you
all
for
right,
your time.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you very much. Take care. Sure.
Ross Ulbricht is serving a double life sentence without parole for all nonviolent charges for creating a website. Please help free this peaceful man. Go to freeross.org and sign and share the petition.
Okay, well, that's great. You've got people who have IRAs and 401ks, and you know, there's different things you can do or that I can do to help them out. But what about the person that has maybe a few million dollars of gains and they bought it on Coinbase or Kraken, or they got several millions of dollars of gains and all of a sudden now you want to go buy your Lambo or buy a new house? I mean, there's no way you're going to be able to skirt around the IRS because they're going to wonder, you know, hey, how'd you get that $500,000 to buy a new house? Well, for those people, probably the best person to explain this is actually my friend Ernest Hancock, as he was giving me an introduction at Anarchapoco. Anyways, I'll let Ernie take it away, because we can also have advanced trust strategies for the people that have millions of dollars of gains. This is not just for people who are looking to invest parts of their IRAs or 401ks.
A good friend of mine, Tim Pachote, he's a financial advisor at Scottsdale. He'll be speaking at the TDV event. You'd be able to bring the crypto into the system. How would you be able to do a foundation, a trust, a this, a that, and so on? And Tim was at the party, and I go, Tim, what up? He's been spending months that he's getting ready to present to you guys Monday on how you can take your crypto and not pay capital gains on it, not have taxes on it. I'm going, man, you need to talk to Tim.